Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel Perek Mem Gimel, Chapter 43. The detailed construction of the Beit HaMikdash that we read about in Chapters 40 to 42 was actually only a prelude to what comes now in Chapter 43. The Beit HaMikdash we read about was cold, empty, only a series of measurements. But now suddenly, the main inhabitant arrives, Pasuk Bet. Vinei kavod Elokei Yisrael ba miderach hakadim. Behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east. V'kolo k'kol mayim rabim, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. Va'aretz he'ira mikvodo, and the earth shined with his glory. U'kmar'eh hamar'eh asher re'iti, k'mar'eh asher re'iti b'vo'i l'shachid ha'ir. Yechezkel can't believe it, but the vision that I am seeing is like the vision that I saw. Like the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. Umarot kemar'eh asher re'iti el nahar kfar. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by nahar kfar. Ve'epola panai. And I fell on my face. Yechezkel here in this pasuk draws his three main visions together. His hakdasha, where he saw a revelation of Hashem's chariot on Har Kfar 5 years after Galut Yehoyachin and 6 years before the Chorban, when he saw Hashem revealed in a chariot with detailed descriptions of the angels accompanying him. They praised Hashem there with the words, Baruch Kavod Hashem Im Kamo, blessed is Hashem from his place. There, back in Parak 3, we mentioned the explanation of the Abarbanel, who looks at this praise of Hashem as being interpreted, blessed is Hashem even though he has departed from his place. Yechezkel's first experience of Hashem was of him leaving, of absence, of what was missing. Yechezkel ties that vision to his second experience of Hashem, and that was his journey to Jerusalem in Prakim 8 through 11, when he, Bo'i l'shachit et ha'ir, goes to destroy the city, where he himself was part of the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and a player in the carrying of the coals from the Kruvim to the city. There, in the last pasuk of his vision in chapter 11, he saw, pasuk of Gimel, Vaya'al kavod Hashem, me'al toch ha'ir, vayamod al ha'har, asher mikedem la'ir. The glory of Hashem went above the city and stood on the mountain that was to the east of the city. The last step of the destruction was the kavod of Hashem leaving the city from the east. The Beit HaMikdash that Yechezkel toured and measured and experienced in the last three prakim was, as Yechiel Tzvi Moskowitz explains in the Da'at Mikra, just an empty shell. It was a building that was built but with no inhabitant. The rooms, the walls, the courtyards were there, but they were empty. The most important part of the building was missing. And now, this third revelation, the one that was introduced by the meticulous measurements of the Beit HaMikdash, is now the one that closes the circle. Both the circle of the measure of Beit HaMikdash and the circle of all Yechezkel's visions. The one that he first saw on the Har Kfar in his Hakdasha, on his initiation, and his vision of the destruction of Jerusalem, and now the kavod of Hashem is returning to its place the way that it came from the east to the Beit HaMikdash. And now, Yechezkel says in Pasukei, Vatisaeni Ruach, the Spirit took me up, Vativieni el hachatzer apnimi, brought me to the inner court, Vihine malei kavod Hashem havayit, Hashem's glory filled the house. The Spirit lifts Yechezkel up like it did in Perek Gimel, but instead of hearing the Malachim praising Hashem with the words, Baruch Kvod Hashem Im Kamo, blessed is Hashem from his place, he himself, Yechezkel, has a direct revelation of the Kvod Hashem, not through angels, but himself, and he sees the glory of Hashem filling the house, not from his place, but in his place. Hashem has returned. In the next pasuk, as the man stands beside him, Yechezkel hears Hashem speak directly to him from the Beit HaMikdash. And now the voice of Hashem proclaims to Yechezkel, Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer Eli, it said to me, Ben Adam, son of man, et makom kis'i, vet makon kaput raglai, asher eshkon sham v'toch b'nei Yisrael, la'olam. This is the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. V'lo yitamu od beit Yisrael shem kodshi, they will no longer defile my name. Hema u'malchehem b'znutam u'pigrei malchehem b'motam. they will not by their kings, not by their prostitutions, and not by the dead bodies of their kings and their high places. Alluding to this first statement about the Mishkan in Parsha Truma, in Shmot Perkaf Hei, Va'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'tocham, Yecheskel, make me a holy place and I will dwell in among you, Yecheskel says, V'eshkon sham b'toch b'nei Yisrael le'olam, I will dwell amongst B'nai Israel, adding the word le'olam, forever. And notice that just as in the original phrase, Vasuli Mikdash Veshachanti B'tocham, Hashem does not say that he will reside in this Mikdash, even though his kavod is now filling the Mikdash. Rather, through use of the Mikdash, he will reside amongst B'nai Israel. The rebuilt Mikdash in their midst will not have to be destroyed again, explains the Abarbanel, because they will no longer be doing sins that will cause Hashem to do such a drastic punishment. No longer will they worship idolatry. No longer will they build Bamot right outside the Beit HaMikdash and Gei Ben Hinnom. No longer, explains Rashi, will the house of the king, as Yechezkel referred to in the Pasuk, and even the royal cemetery be so close to the Beit HaMikdash that the bodies of the kings will be buried right outside the walls of the Beit HaMikdash, as it was in the time of Shlomo and Atalia. As we spoke about in the last parak, this Beit HaMikdash at the top of the mountain will be separated from Tumah, from impurity, both from actual terrible deeds like idolatry, but also from literal Tumah, from dead bodies, as in the times past when the cemeteries of the kings would bump up right outside the walls of the Beit HaMikdash. This separation is necessary because of the sins that B'nai Israel did during Bayit Rishon, right next to the Kodesh Kedashim, as it says in Pasuk Chet, B'titam sipamet sipi, u'mezuzatam etzel mezuzati, they put their threshold by my threshold, their doorpost by my doorpost, b'hakir b'ni u'b'neihem, there was only a wall between me and them, v'timu et shem kachi b'to'avotam asher asu v'achalotam b'api, and they defiled my name with all the abominations that they did, and then I consumed them in my anger. The Beit HaMikdash, Bayit Rishon, was surrounded by people right next to it in the king's palace. And as the Radak explains, right opposite Gei Ben Hinnom, which was the center of Avodah Zarah, which was literally right outside the Beit HaMikdash. And there were terrible sins. There was corruption surrounding the Beit HaMikdash. In the future, this won't happen. The Beit HaMikdash will be separate. It will be its own entity. There will not be Tumah surrounding it. And you do hear in Hashem's voice the anger that he felt towards B'nai Israel as they did these terrible abominations. Not even just that they did them, but they did them in and around the Beit HaMikdash. And then the section ends with Pasuk 9, with Hashem reiterating to Yechezkel the directive and the purpose of the Beit HaMikdash. Va'ata Yirachaku etznutam upigrei malchayim mimeni, v'shachanti b'tocham la'olam. Let them keep their prostitution, which is always a metaphor for idolatry, and their dead bodies of the kings, these cemeteries that would join the area of the Beit HaMikdash, keep them far away from me. Meaning, just don't do them. There'll be a separation. V'shachanti b'tocham la'olam. I will dwell amongst them forever. The pasuk starts with the word atah, and now. But the word atah is not referring to right now in Yechezkel's life, but rather to the now of the future, when this Beit HaMikdash is built. They will no longer do their idolatry, and they will no longer bury their kings right alongside the Beit HaMikdash. Then the Beit HaMikdash will last forever. Hashem will forever dwell not in it, but amongst B'nai Israel because of their good deeds. And Rashi explains the word atah to say, Al karcham yirchaku etznotam, they are going to have to put away their terrible prostitution, which equals idolatry. Shevdalti li hekef gvul gadol saviv, because I have made such a strong separation between myself and them, an encompassment of a large border all around. They will almost have no choice. This Beit HaMikdash will not be like their last one. I'm not going to leave it up to them to realize that they need to separate their dead bodies from the Beit HaMikdash. I will not leave it up to them to know that they needed to separate Tameh from Tahor, pure from impure. I will do it myself. And Radak adds on the words, Atayirachaku, ki yelahem lev chadash, liraoti, that this will come at a time while they will have their new heart that Yechezkel discussed, their hearts of flesh that replaced their hearts of stone. And with this new heart, with this new understanding, with this understanding of their deeds and what they did wrong and how much they want to fix, they will want to do good and they will be sure to follow the will of Hashem. Hashem then tells Yechezkel to go and tell the Jews of the Galut everything that he saw. Pasuk Yud, Ata ben Adam, Haged et b'nei Yisrael, et habayit. Tell them about the house. Vayikomu me'avonotam. And they'll stop doing all of their sins. Umardu et tochnit. Umadidu et tochnit. And you will show them how you measured the Beit HaMikdash. Hearing about the vision itself, this vision of the Beit HaMikdash, the specificity of it, how Yechezkel saw all the parts of it and how he saw the Kavod of Hashem filling it, should be enough to inspire them to change their ways and be worthy of this vision. Rashi explains this pasuk as connected to the people's despondency in Galut, thinking that they will never be redeemed. And says Rashi, Baharoti lamochasti she'eni ma'usam ba'avunam. Rashi says when they hear about this, they're going to know that I love them and I don't reject them for their sins. This interpretation of Rashi perhaps connects to the despair that the people expressed to Yechezkel back in Perek Lamed Gimel, chapter 33, in the last psukim before they heard about the Chorban, where they said to Yechezkel, Ki pesha'enu chatotenu aleinu, ubam anachnu nimakim ve'ich nechyeh, our sins are upon us. How can we live with them? We'll never be able to get out of them. The people in Galut, especially after the Chorban, were weighed down by the scope of the tragedy. Perhaps we actually are rejected by Hashem. And if the people in Israel didn't change and they got punished, how can we possibly change? How will we not be punished for the sins that we've already done? We can't go back in time and change them. Hashem will never take us back because we'll never be forgiven for the sins of the past. No, says Yechezkel in this interpretation of Rashi. The whole point of showing you this Mikdash with all of its measurements and all of its details was to tell you and assure you that you will return. Hashem will return. You will have another Beit HaMikdash. The Shekhinah and Kavod of Hashem will return the way he came through the east gate, and you will once again live with Hashem in your midst forever. Yechezkel closes the small section and the entire section of the measurements of the Beit HaMikdash with the pasuk, Yudbet, Zot Torat HaBayit, Al Rosh Ahar, Kol Gvalo Saviv Saviv Kodesh Kedashim, Hine Zot Torat HaBayit. This is the law of the house. On top of the mountain, the whole limit of round shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. The phraseology of Zot Torat is the beginning of the phrase that begins this discussion of each korban in Sefer Vayikra. Using this phrase allows Yechezkel to see the Beit HaMikdash as flowing directly from the laws of the Torah and a continuation of the thought process of Sefer Vayikra. The laws of Vayikra themselves present a separation between Kodesh and Chol, between holy and mundane. Yechezkel builds and expands on the separation and says, that is what this whole Beit HaMikdash is going to be. It's going to be a separate place. It's going to be only holy. It's going to be a utopia. In the next section of the parak, from Pasuk 13 to 27, Yod Gimel through Kaf Zayin, Yechezkel focuses on the Mizbeach that he saw, actually, inside the Beit HaMikdash, the Mizbeach HaOla, and he measures it and describes it. And then in Psukim 18 through 27, Hashem tells Yechezkel about the Chanukat HaMizbeach that they will have, the 8-day dedication ceremony that they will have for the Beit HaMikdash, paralleling the dedication ceremony that they had for the Mishkan. On each day, there is a prescribed korban offered by the Levim and the Kohanim, who are descendants of Tzadok, a specific family of Kohanim that were specified already from Perek Mem. Kohanim, as the Dat Mikra explains, that were descendants of the Kohen Tzadok who lived in the time of Shlomo. These Kohanim were not corrupt. They were never corrupt. They were never involved in the corruption of the other Kohanim, and they weren't tainted like the rest of the Kohanim were. Only this family is pure enough to serve in the future Beit HaMikdash. Each day, for 7 days that they did in the Mishkan, they will give different korbanot until they have completed the purification of the Mizbeach. And then, Pasuk of Zayin, Vayichalu et hayamim, Vahaya bayom hashmini, Vahala ya'asu hakohanim, Al ha-Mizbeach et olotam ve'et shalmechem, V'retziti etchem, Ne'um Hashem Elokim. When they have finished these days, and then on the 8th day and forward, the priests are going to take the Ola offerings and the Shlamim offerings, and I will want them, says Hashem. There's a unification between Hashem and the Kohanim and the people at the end of the Perek. The Korbanot will be wanted and accepted by Hashem. The concluding section of this Perek about the Korbanot is a perfect end to the spiritual beginning of the Perek about the Kavod of Hashem returning. The instructions for the Chanukah HaMizbeach pivot from the lofty ideals of Hashem's return to practical instructions for reestablishing sanctity in the actual Beit HaMikdash. This shift in tone emphasizes the connection between divine transcendence, Hashem's presence in the Beit HaMikdash, and the human responsibility in maintaining the holiness through ending their sinning and giving the Korbanot. Thank you for learning together, Le'ila Nishmas Barbara Atlas Brachabas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.